Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, won't you speak to us this morning?
We
need to hear from you, Lord.
We need
your word to sustain us.
We need
your word to change us, Lord.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Last week I was speaking about wisdom in raising children.
And I
got about halfway through.
There
were two things I wanted to
share.
And last week I introduced the idea that God Himself is interested in our children.
And because
He tells us in His Word that He wants godly offspring. If you look in the New Testament, it speaks about God wanting worshippers who worship in spirit and truth.
It's
not saying worship with this style or worship with that style. The Bible doesn't mind if you have a quiet personality or a lively personality. But what matters is something going on in the heart. God desires worshippers.
In
one sense, the primary goal of parenting is to raise up worshippers for God.
In other
words, if God wants my children, godly offspring, people that grow up to worship and love Him, that's what I want to achieve as I raise them. If I can teach my children to honor and worship and obey and love,
I
want it ultimately to be God that they honor, worship, obey, and
love. So
teaching my children to obey my commands is not so that I can feel like the big man, the big chief.
It's so
that they will ultimately obey God.
If I want
my children to honor me,
it's
so that they know how to bestow honor. Ultimately on God.
And
I get it wrong as a parent if I think my children are my glory.
And
then I try and make them into something that makes me look good. So I spoke last week about that idea that our children are ultimately for God's glory. But then I led from there to the point of how do we raise them to be godly?
How do we
bring our children up to worship God and to honor Him?
And
In the Old Testament, there's this scary verse that I read once.
Andrei Andrei se andala tsuratra masna mapatawatra nvakiko atane amni testamenta talutan.
There are actually quite a lot of verses in the Bible that should scare us a bit.
Yeah, peda pelura antena izy andala tsuratra masna tokony apatawatra tsika kely.
But there's one verse that speaks about parenting when it went wrong.
Fan misy andala tsuratra masna izay miresaka hoe le fitaizana rohatra hoe mandeha amin'ny tsy tokony izy izany le fitaizana.
Now understand that as a parent you can do everything you're supposed to do and sometimes things still go wrong.
Azoko tsara mihitsy ny aloha afaka tena hoe manao izay faratratra tsikitsika maray mandreny antsika nefa mbola mibrika mandeha any amin'ny tsy tokony izy ihany le izy.
When you grown up, once you're older,
rehefa lehibe ianao,
you are judged for your sins.
Dia tsaraina ianao any amin'ny fahotanao.
And your parents are judged for their sins.
Den ray amandreny tsaraina amin'izay fahotany ko.
The parent isn't punished for the child's sins.
Le ray amandreny tsoe sazina izy nonny fahotany le zanany.
The child isn't punished for the parent's sins.
Ary le zanaka tsy sazina nonny fahotany ray amandreny.
God says each one will be judged for his own actions.
Afozis and Demantro went to Raira Yav, the Samutsaraina Araxe as an Yav.
That's very important.
Savati Pesan.
Because ultimately God disconnects in a way, He separates us.
Savati Pesas at Tiran Dram Tenenam Tenevate, Sarasaran and Demantas Antik.
So there's a point at which in your life you will give an account to God.
And
it's not your parents' fault what you do.
If
my son grows up, he leaves my house, marries a woman, decides to rob a bank, murders someone, that's on him, it's not on me. He's responsible for his actions. So what am I saying? There is a time at which someone becomes responsible for themselves before God. And God says He will hold each man to account for his own decisions.
So
sometimes people go off the rails, they go bad. Maybe you've got a child that's given you difficulties. There's a time where that is actually no longer the burden on the parent. It will always break the parent's heart. But God's not blaming the parent, He's blaming the individual who sins. So there's this scary verse in the Old Testament. It says, if a son grows up and he becomes a troublemaker, a drunkard who doesn't show any respect. See, he's someone who's totally wayward, someone who just doesn't fit into society. The idea is of somebody who's maybe 20 years old. He should be well and truly a man. He should be contributing to society. He should be working and earning a living. He should be adding goodness to the world. Not staying home with mommy and daddy. Not fighting with them. Not partying with his friends and getting drunk and getting into fights. But learning to be a peacemaker. A hard worker. But instead he's a rebel and a drunkard and a fighter. Why do you think he's like that? He never learned to respect authority. And now he's too big to teach him authority. What the Bible says you should do to that guy, to Israel, in the law, says bring the young man to the elders of the city. The parents can bring him. And they can say, this son, we've tried everything. But he refused to learn. He refused to respect. He refused to take instruction. He's a drunkard and a troublemaker. And they take him to the elders. Then they take him to the edge of town and they stone him to death.
The
parents pick up rocks and they hurl rocks at that 20-year-old rebel. And the parents and then the elders and the city join in and they kill that guy. Parenting is a serious business. You see, God says you have to get rid of the evil. Otherwise, it contaminates everything around it. Now, thank God, I don't see any time that they actually talk about that being done. But the command was there that you shouldn't tolerate that kind of rebel.
And
the parents weren't blamed.
Do
you get it? Once your kid is 18 or 20, he's responsible for his actions.
I don't
think a 50-year-old Malagasy man should be teaching his 30-year-old son how to behave.
If
he's 20 and he doesn't know how to behave, it's too late. I mean, then the best thing the parent can do is pray. The Bible actually teaches us that we should train up a child, meaning a little child. And so I read this text last week, he who spares the rod hates his son.
Proverbs 13:24,
he who spares the rod hates his son. And he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Careful to discipline him. So this means with my children, as they grow up, I'm careful to discipline them. That means there's a proper way to do this. And I'm
going
to talk over the next 15 minutes about this, some practical tips, some practical advice. And maybe your parents didn't discipline you the way I'm going to describe.
Te angamba ndray mandreno metsuena no anzay fitsipikizay taminao arakle zavatra ho fariparitako eto.
I'm not trying to say they wrong and I'm right.
Sa kurtso emtene disur zareo de zam marina.
Or maybe you didn't raise your children well and it's too late now.
Na metsuetsin taizaino tsara nzanako de fa tara loatra zao.
Forgive yourself, forgive one another.
Mi famelay elka de avelao elka kon tenanao.
But I still want to have the liberty to give you some advice. But I don't want you to come under condemnation. Okay? But over the years, I've learned some things about raising children.
And
I had fairly decent parents as well. They were fairly good parents. And I learned from their discipline too. If we're careful to discipline our children and we're disciplining for godly character, then from the time they are 2 years old or so, sometimes even younger, somewhere between 1 and 2, you have to teach a child to obey. This may take 10 years before it learns. So you have to be very, very faithful from when they're very little right till they're maybe 12-13 years old. If you say to your one-year-old, don't touch, and then they go and touch, then you need there to be a consequence. They need to know they crossed the boundary and disobeyed your word.
And
you engage firmly, you say no. If they still disobey you, you need to get their attention. Most times a flick on the hand, if it's that hand that's going to touch.
You
don't fly into a rage. You don't have to shout and scream. How does God discipline you?
Gently,
patiently, but firmly, because he never bends and he never budges from his word. If you say no to your child, you can't have a sweetie or a piece of toast or something to eat. Then when they please, you never break your word. As a parent, you must not give in to nagging. And don't ask them to earn it either. Don't say, okay, if you do this, then I'll do that for you. Because good behavior should never be used as a bribe.
Satin tuetra tsara tets tokony hoentina hoe ampiasaina mba hoentina azahoana zavatra.
So when you're parenting little children,
karaoatra no mitaizan'le zanaka kely iny.
The most important thing is to keep the boundaries the same.
Then zava-dehibe de hoe ataovy mitovy foana le fetra farana le faritra hoe atreto ny farany.
Never change. If you're fairly strict, then remain fairly strict. If you're fairly relaxed with your child, be consistently fairly relaxed. See, we don't know how exactly how strict or how relaxed to be. And I think God's given us that latitude, that breadth to we can work with different positions.
We're
reflecting the character of God.
And
He doesn't change, and His word remains the same. So you can't let your child play with the guitar one day.
Like
my little girl, she plays a bit with the
guitar.
She's just under 2 years old. And it's cute. And then another day, I can't say, oh no, you can't touch that. Because I changed my mind. You only confuse your child if you keep changing the rules. And you have to do the most parenting when your child is really little.
So I can't
leave that to my other older sons to raise Joel. Because one day they didn't sleep well, so they're hard on her. Another day they're easy on her because they're just kids themselves. So they don't understand how to do these things properly. So parents have to invest heavily into the children when the children are the smallest.
And
don't over abdicate that to a helper or a sibling.
Because it's
too easy for the child then not to actually get enough focused, consistent attention. God is our Father. He disciplines you. There's no proxy for that. There's no substitute for that. So parents need to be actively involved in parenting their children. And then when you discipline the child, when he's crossed the line, it's very important that you discipline in love. So if you're going to punish a child, it's very important that you maintain their dignity. And don't try to bring shame upon them. So for that reason, discipline usually happens in a private place. So I'll give you an example. My son does something wrong. he needs to be corrected.
De tukuni aitis mila fantinis.
I don't leave it to his mother.
De tswe info afela ku mama nyana wansai.
If I saw what happened, I take action.
Raisan na italezen tranga te san manau an leetski.
I say, go to your room.
Or
you could say, go and wait in my room.
Or
go to the bathroom. You take him somewhere away from where people can see.
I mean,
how many of you has God humiliated in public?
It's not
how he disciplines.
He
covers our shame. He doesn't expose it. Unless it's an absolute last resort. Unless it's the last thing. But God always tries to protect our dignity. So I would send a child somewhere private. Go meet them in private. Make sure I'm not enraged.
Man,
the one time I thought if I hit my child, I was going to really hurt him. I was so angry. You have to calm down. Because you have to be a fair judge. Because God measures out justice. He doesn't overreact. So I'd send my boy to his room or take him somewhere private. I'd talk to him about what he did wrong. I'd hear from him whether he's repentant or not. Maybe if he's too small,
I'd
just say, now I have to smack you. He has to know the consequences for his actions. And I would probably give my son a smack on the bum with my hand or with a little stick. In a way, it's that it's impossible to injure him. But it can only sting enough that he knows he did something wrong, that he feels that. As I said last week, some children don't even need a smack because they're sensitive enough to respond to just a stern rebuke. But whether it's verbal correction or physical correction, it must always preserve the dignity of that child. It's done lovingly. You are not taking revenge. You are not venting your anger on your child. And trust me, as a parent, there are times where you feel like you want to take revenge or vent your anger. But you may not dishonor the child. Because you are raising up a son and a daughter of God's. To God's child to worship God.
You
know, Africa can be a rough place. We're part of Africa. And I've seen some people in African villages who are tough.
Tesama yita wulan tiamni anembavuetam farti Afrikinia. Mafi.
I saw a little boy once.
Naita kids la kela andray andro.
A little African, a little black boy.
Okay, African nakel, minded takel.
And he ran in front of a friend of mine. My friend was riding a bicycle.
Tenyaza kaza kids nakanamle namak zain tunda bisikletis tamsay.
He did something stupid. He shouldn't run in the traffic.
Izan nano zavata tsi ampie vera natstukunwe ande yaza kaza kanamni zavata misum famoy fui.
My friend's bicycle knocked him down, went over him.
Ate le bisikleta le namako nanduna nazy de nandeha eo ambony.
The little boy was only about 6 years old.
Le akizy la kely vao 1 taona fotsiny.
Maybe that tall.
Angapa ohatran'izao ny
afa. So he was on the ground and the bike went over his middle. He was fine though, he didn't get injured.
De izany kidita eo amin'ny tany teo de nandalo teo aminazy le bisikleta. Izy nefa tsy naninona tsy naratra.
Probably got a bit hurt but not seriously injured. So I watched what happened. Guess who was looking after him? Not his mom or dad. His big brother. His big brother was maybe 10. His big brother was worried that he would get into trouble. Because now his little brother had run away from him and caused problems. So he ran up to the little boy, grabbed him up off the ground, and just smacked him across the head. Just say, "What were you doing?" You ran out in front of a bicycle, bam, on the head. Where did the 10-year-old learn to discipline? From someone else who never took care over how he disciplined.
Avy any amin'ny olona hafa izay tsy nieritreritra tsara hoe tsy nieritreritra ampiheverana tsara hoe ohatr'izao ny fomba fanitsiana.
And somehow he thought he had the right to discipline his younger brother. He doesn't. He doesn't have the maturity, he doesn't have the wisdom, and he certainly didn't have the skill. He tried to correct his little brother in public. He added humiliation to injury. And he touched him on the head. Do you know that you must never, ever hit someone on the head? Not when they're little. Not if they're a child. Not if they're an adult. You don't slap in the face, you don't hit on the head. Because the head is the seat of dignity. It is the throne on which the crown is placed. This is where a person's dignity is. And when parents pull the kid's ear, they're dishonoring them. They're not bringing careful discipline. That child burns with shame. And if you smack someone across the head, it's a very dishonoring act. Whether in private or in public. Wife, if you slap your husband in the face, it's very dishonoring. For the same reason. No one gets to smack another person on the head. The only time we do it is when we're having fun
Ni fumba dova tsika anzai ya terevale tsika mfapsang
sangin. We go to our child or something, we say, I grab you, and we rub him on the head, and he knows it's just for fun, or we do this, but when we loving the guy, it's love. This, what I'm doing now, is love.
Then fumba tukana nova tsika anzai, terevale tsika mfapsang sang, na fanta noi, amptiavana nanova, na leiz, otan soa tok so.
But if you're angry with someone, your child, in your anger, you raise your hand towards their face or their head. You are threatening to dishonor, humiliate, and it's not right. And don't use your words either to do the same thing. You never call your child a fool. Never ever insult your child. If words are used to bring shame or humiliation,
you're
only showing that it's your pride that's been wounded. And when your pride was wounded, you try to take revenge by bringing the other person down. That's not careful discipline. So in order for us to bring discipline, we must be secure. Trust that God is for you. You don't have to fix your child. You don't have to put them in their place. You have to teach them lovingly to obey and honor. And that's why when you bring discipline, you're actually doing it in an honorable way. You know, God doesn't give in when you try to pressure him.
I'm
nearly finished. I'm going to end with this point. Children try to manipulate their parents. From the time they're really little, some scream to get their way. Some stamp their feet. And some flutter their eyelids and smile. As parents, we mustn't give in. When children want something, if we've said no, don't let them manipulate you.
And
interestingly, if there's a mom and a dad in the picture, the children will try to play one off against the other. You should always check first. What did mommy say? What did daddy say? The parents must be together in disciplining the child. And don't let the child keep you in the dark about what the other parent said. Parenting is actually something quite wonderful. But the answer is understanding how God parents us.
He's
very, very, very firm.
Tena yent.
But he's very, very, very loving. He's involved in our lives. He doesn't ever shame us or humiliate us. But he doesn't let us get away with nonsense either. He can't be bribed.
He doesn't change.
And this is how we should parent others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that teaches us to be careful in how we discipline. Help us as parents to treat our children with respect. And bring dignity into our parenting. And help us to take the opportunities while children are young. To train them to become godly worshippers. Ones who will ultimately worship you and bring you glory. I pray for every parent and every child here. May your grace abound to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.